Yeah, everybody, welcome to the show. Mrs. Z and Fifth with your host, Zach. He is in the Fifth General. What's up, y'all?
Hey, what's good? What's good? Good to be here. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for tuning in, everybody, to our show, the Mr. Z and Fifth show. Yes, yes.
Main topic tonight we'll get into. Are women getting bad relationship advice? We'll address that tonight. First, we're going to get into some serious news. Zacchaeus, start us off.
Yeah, you know, this weekend I heard some disturbing news, and you know, and I was just on the radio. Some people don't listen to the radio, but I do. I'm still a fan of the New York City show, radio show, David Levy, Caribbean Vibes, Caribbean Fever, a 107.5 in New York City, 107.5 FM in New York City, David Levy. And I was just listening to some Caribbean music, and then next thing you know, and sometimes David likes to share articles about current events, trending topics and articles. And then I heard some disturbing news about a cult, and these people in Kenya starved themselves to death to meet Jesus. And it was very disturbing that in this day and age that people are still manipulated by cults. So it's like they follow this cult leader and they starve themselves to death, women and children, just to follow Jesus. Now, I'm going to read a quick article here that I've bumped into, because I want to go in depth about the article and read it myself, because it really hit me when I heard the news. According to the sources from Daily Mail News, inside the death cults, after 100 people starved themselves to death to meet Jesus, a look at the sects whose followers died in mass poisoning, rituals, suicide, and other horrifying ways. Now, they didn't go into real deep depth, but all I know, it was people that this weekend, the article came out in Kenya News, that they starved themselves to death. They were discovered that this ministry had these people not eat for days and maybe possibly months, just starving themselves to death, women and children and men too, because they had some men that's involved in this ministry too, just to meet Jesus. Now, me and you, Fifth, we know that God didn't tell us to starve ourselves. There's something called fasting, yes, but he never told us to starve ourselves to death. There's a big difference. It's a big difference. So when this article hit me, it just reminded me of how manipulative that some cults are. Cults are like this. Those who don't know, who are listening to us right now, they'll give you what you need. And usually they go after people that's in need. They go after needy. They go after people that is desperate. And they go after people that's depressed and need a hope in their life. They need some kind of help in their life. Whether they're struggling to put food on the table, whether they're trying to get income for their family, and they see that you have a need, they'll play on your desires and they manipulate you just so you can get into the ministry. And then when you get into the ministry, they give you what you need. They supply you what you need. They make you feel satisfied. They supply jobs. They supply food. If you need food, they got the food. But what it is that once they got you, it's like they have a hold on you. They don't allow you to, if you're in a compound, they don't allow you to leave the compound. If you have friends and family that's not part of the ministry with you, they kind of disassociate, they want you to disassociate themselves from them. They don't. Cults don't come on you right away. Cults come. They're subtle. They come nice, pleasant, very friendly, very. They go beyond the call of duty to go help you, and they go beyond the call of duty to go be kind to you. If you're in need of anything, they supply it. And then as time goes on, and they know they got you, because now you're idolizing whoever the leader is, and then you idolize the leader, and now they got you. Now they got you in their clutch. And it's a mental thing, because they know how to manipulate, they know how to mentally stimulate your brain to follow them. The Bible talks about even the very elite getting fooled by false prophets, false fallen angels and false prophets. So, yeah. And they come very subtle. Now, the biggest cult there's some big cults that even here in America, there's some big cults in the past. You know, I'm very familiar with the Jim Jones story out of Guyana in 1978. I'm very familiar with that story. Watched documentaries on it. I know the whole story in and out. I know they have some survivors that came out of there in Guyana back in 78 when Jim Jones had people that go down to Jonestown, Guyana, and they went to a jungle in Guyana. Imagine that. In the temple, imagine luring people from letting you leave your home in America to go to a foreign land, Guyana. Mm-hmm. Yeah, where my people are from. And they go to a jungle. And Americans, you're Americans, don't know nothing about the land. And he's leading you to a jungle to set up shop, meaning that the ministry is going to be right there and you can't leave. If you leave the compound, he threatens your life. Say you can't leave because God has something for you. They manipulate. Use God's word, and then manipulate the people that's vulnerable and a very, very vulnerable people. Easy misled people that don't listen. Some people are into, Fifth, you know that. Some people are into following man. They're not into following God. You know that. Mm-hmm. You know, so they follow this man, and the man can give them hope. So they get manipulated. Even when, that's Jim Jones is one. And then the other one was, I remember, Yahweh Ben Yahweh, 5%er, Yahweh Ben Yahweh out of 1981. That was 1981, Miami, Florida. All these black people followed this man. They were poor in the community, of course. They always go for the downtrodden. They always go for the people in need. That's cults. They always go for the people in need. And Yahweh Ben Yahweh had them by the hook. And then you had another one in Texas, Waco, Texas, back in 1994, David Kirsch, or whatever it is, David Koresh. Keith or Kirsch, Koresh, out of Waco, Texas, that had people in the, they could not leave. Christians, again, could not leave the compound. If they left, they would threaten their life. Same scenario. And they had to act, the military, some military militia had to literally, yeah, chaotic. Cause war to... It's chaotic. I could go on and on about cults, but... Now, I guess my message to everybody is that be mindful. Don't be so eager to just join an organization and don't know nothing too much about it. Always do your research. Always do your due diligence. Always go to God for yourself. Don't just quick to follow a man. And quick to just be, okay, he's a great pastor, a great leader. So I'm going to just be on his leadership and just follow him. And that's it. I'm not even going to pray. I'm not even going to seek God and ask if this is the right thing for me. I'm just going to go because he looks. And he's supplying my needs. He's giving me what I need. And they go after desperate people, people that's in desperate need. You know, so my message to everybody out there that's listening to us right now, don't be so quick to be careful. Be mindful of the organizations that tell you to visit them. And then when you visit them, that they're going to supply you, they're going to give you, if you're looking for employment, because that's most of the time people follow, the cult leaders seek after people that's in very in need, dire need, financially, or you're trying to put food on the table. So what they do is they sweet talk you, fill you with the Bible. They manipulate you with the word of God, and then all of a sudden, then they tell you, hey, I want you to come to, for example, Ohio, or I want you to come to, we got something for you. I think you should leave this, I think you should leave your town in Houston. I think you should go to Ohio. We got something for you. And we got a job lined up for you. We got room and board, we have shelter room lined up for you. We got room and board lined up for you. And then we have a job lined up for you. So you could come down, work the ministry, plus part, be a part of the ministry, plus be a part of the, get a job opportunity. And you go down. Because remember, you're relying on man to help you. So you go down and that's how they got, that's how they get people. Yeah. Okay. Or let's say you're depressed. You run away from your family, your young people. They get young people too. You run away from home. Your father don't understand you. Your mother don't understand you. You're doing bad in school. So you need some love. The cults have a way of showing, they will show you love. Love that you probably never even experienced before. And that's how they get you. Remember the rapper Craig Mack?
I was just thinking about him. Go into that.
Craig Mack.
He was in South Carolina, right?
South Carolina. Somewhere, Craig Mack is an artist, golden era artist. Mm-hmm. If you those who don't know Flavor in Your Ear, the Flavor song called Flavor in Your Ear. I'm kicking brand new flavors in your ear. Brand new. Bad Boy, you done with Bad Boy. P. Diddy, yeah. Bad Boy Records. And for a while, you didn't hear about Craig Mack. I think after with Biggie, then when the Biggie era passed, and then timers went on, and then Biggie passed, and then Craig Mack was... Let me make a long story short. Craig Mack was listening to the radio because he wanted to change his life. Craig Mack was trying to change his life, maybe get spiritual. And he, for some part, he just listened to the radio. And then he heard this pastor on the radio. And he was in need. Craig Mack was in need. Craig Mack needed some help. He was in need for something he was in need for. I forgot what it was, but he was in need. Maybe to change his life. Maybe to change his mental state. And he listened to the radio, listened to this pastor. So he decided to leave his family in New York, leave where he was staying, and journey down to, I think, North Carolina, right? I think it was North Carolina.
One of the Carolinas, one of them.
One of the Carolinas. Went down to the Carolinas, met up with the pastor, got it connected with the pastor. But it was a compound. Compound meaning that is a place, a room and board. Mm-hmm. They give you shelter. It's a ministry. They give you everything. They give you everything that you need.
As long as you work for the church.
As long as you work for the church, they supply your needs. As long as you work for the church, they give you something what you need. But the crazy thing about it, he was hooked. And then when Craig Mack passed away, the weird thing about the quarter donor was a cult. The weird thing that passed away, nobody could have visited. His family couldn't even visit him when he was ill. I think P. Diddy said that he couldn't even, it was crazy because he couldn't even go to the funeral. He couldn't even go to the funeral to pay his last respects. So people, be careful when these organizations are calling you out. Let's say if you're in dire need of a job, or if you're in dire need of maybe help, maybe love, if you're in dire need of love or you're feeling alone. And then all of a sudden now, they're calling you out to come out to this city. They supply your room and board. They're trying to give you money for traveling. You go out there. And then next thing you know, they're telling you that you can't leave. Be careful. That's all. That's my last message on this situation. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, any group, organization, church, or whatever that tells you that you can't leave and go home?
Red flag.
Red flag.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you were free, then you could, they could trust you to go home and come back, right?
Yeah, and they tell you don't contact your family, don't contact your friends. We're your family now. We're your friends now. Yeah. They got cults that would even take your phone for a while. They'd be like, listen,
you can't have a phone at all. Craig Mack couldn't have a phone.
Yeah.
So for those who remember, and I'll get off of this and we'll go into the main topic, because this is going to be most of the show. And for those who remember an episode of Martin, when he got fired from WZUP, his radio job, and he was trying to get little quick jobs, unemployment office, whatever he could to get a job, and it just wasn't working out. And he fell on hard times, and he saw an infomercial that actually had nothing to do with the cult itself, but that's how they got him, right? It was, hey, you know, you something going on, and you need help getting a job, hey, call us. And he ended up being a part of this so-called church, and that ended up being a cult. And, you know, and Gina Cole and Tommy and Pam had to get him out of there, you know, and he was brainwashed and everything. And that's what cults do. Cults brainwash you to the point where now you can't even question them, you know, because when Martin tried to question the leader of the cult, you know, he was met with hostility. That shouldn't happen. See? If you're free, that shouldn't happen, right?
Yes. Conversate your phone. They want to keep you away from your loved ones. They want to keep you away from your friends, loved ones. Yeah, they want to keep you away. Keep you locked away. That's what cults do. They brainwash you enough to say that we're your family. We love you. We're your family. We got you. We got you your job. We got you. As long as you give a service, we got your job. But you cannot contact anybody from the outside. And let them know what's going on in here. That's the big time red flag. But condolences to the people that lost their lives and rest in peace to the ones who lost their lives. And condolences to their family that lost their lives in Kenya. That cult, crazy. Yeah, people, you got to be careful. That's one thing, and I know Fifth don't do it either. We don't get sucked into following man. We follow God. We don't get sucked into saying, oh, he got this man will supply all my needs, and oh, this man is great. Oh, this man is, listen, they put their pants on like you do, take their pants off like you do. They're not, no. We don't get caught up into that. No.
All right.
No. Yeah.
Are women getting bad advice? I'm going to play an interview that Steve Harvey had with Shannon Sharp, and I want to give credit to Pink Book Lessons because this is her commentary on it. She reacted to it, so we're basically doing a reaction to a reaction. But what I'm going to do is use some of her commentary to kind of help us break down what we have to talk about today. So I'm going to start from this. I mean, the clip is long, but I'm going to start from this angle to kind of lead up to what we're talking about.
Why did you continue to believe in love? After everything that you've been, like you're telling me you've gone through a divorce and things happened with the taxes and took a quarter of the money. Here I was, thought you were selling your money because you made all this money on Kings of Comedy and you got $1,700 to your name. Why did you believe in love twice? Why did you believe in you could love, find love again?
Because of my mom and daddy. My mom and daddy's married 64 years. I saw what it looked like.
Right.
I saw what it looked like when it was hard, when it was good. I watched a man honor a woman. I've never seen nobody love nobody like my daddy loved my mom. That boy with that third grade education, my mama taught my daddy how to read and write. I never seen nobody love nobody like Slick Harvey loved Dolores Vera. He'll kill you about her.
But Steve, Marjorie isn't the same type of woman as your mother. Steve's mom was sanctified and Marjorie was a city girl/trap queen. He's comparing falling for a city girl to his dad falling in love with a 1930s woman. This guy is really sad he can't tell the difference. It's sad because he's been sabotaging the younger generation. The women thought that he was on board with them helping them to sabotage men, but he's really been sabotaging and tricking women.
Now, can you do me a favor? Just wipe your camera lens, okay?
My camera lens, okay.
Yeah, because it's a little fuzzy for the audience.
Where is that? Okay.
Yeah, on your laptop. It's on the top of your laptop.
See what I'm talking about?
Just look up.
Oh, yeah.
Wipe that. Yeah, get like a cloth or something like that and wipe that.
Let me get a cloth. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a little sock over here.
That ain't
my bed. Much better now?
On your laptop, right here. There we go.
Yep, right here.
There we go. Go ahead. Do it again. All right. There we go. That's a lot better.
All right. Hey,
every now and then we got to do that. I had to do that.
Yeah, see that? Just,
right before I can.
Actually, I can see myself better. That's good.
There we go. That's what I'm talking about. Better production. Yeah. All right. So I want to pause for a second. She said that she called Marjorie a trap queen. I want to give context. Marjorie allegedly, her last husband or boyfriend was a quote-unquote drug kingpin out of Memphis, and he's doing time right now.
Before that,
she had another drug dealer man. He's locked up too. Apparently, those two men are cousins. Allegedly, that's why Pink Book Lesson said, you can't compare your mother, who was a way different generation than yours, way different, to this woman, and then claim that all women are worth this sacrifice. That's what Pink Book is trying to say. Mm. That what she saw, what he saw in his life made sense because that was the kind of woman you do that for. But not this one. That's what Pink Book is trying to imply. Not that women are that. No, she's saying the type of woman. I'll play some more.
Women as well, into paying him with their eyeballs, their ears, movie tickets, books, his shows. He's got all of that from women who pour money into him. But where did Steve's advice get them?
And you never had that before. In all your relationships before in the marriage, you never had that. What he had with your mom, you never had that.
My first marriage, I got married when I was 24. I wasn't the man my daddy was.
Okay.
I was trying to do something he was doing and I ain't had equipment for it.
Okay.
I ain't know how to problem solve, navigate, negotiate. Right. I didn't know how to shut up in the argument.
Right.
I was just losing arguments because I kept them going.
Right.
I messed that up. The second one, I had that one right there, dog. That's need another drink. I just said I won't do two, but you got me in here now.
Steve blamed himself for the failure of the first marriage, and after all of these years, he still never really repaired things with his daughters. He thought he repaired the problem by taking in another man's daughter and spoiling her and teaching her, when he should have been fixing things with his real daughters that he was absent from. He thought that paying for their college would repair all the unresolved issues there, and then Marjorie made it more complicated, taking care of Lori in a way that he never took care of his own daughters. This is why the family can't get along. Marjorie is also manipulative. Then she taught Lori how to be that way too. I don't know if you remember it, but I covered it some months ago. Steve said Lori told him that if he didn't pay all her bills and allowance, although she's supposed to be strong and independent with her own company and money, Lori told Steve that she would not talk to him anymore. She told him that if he cut the money off, she was going to cut him off.
Let me stop right there.
Oh, wow.
He's talking now. Pink Book is talking about Lori Harvey.
Yeah.
Now, some people know Lori Harvey. She was She's been in a couple relationships that are publicly, but most recently she was with Michael B. Jordan. Michael B. Jordan thought this woman was going to be his wife, but she broke up with him. And then just so happened to laugh about it on a podcast later on. That's sick.
Wow. And
now she's dating Damson Idris, who I don't know what the heck is going on there, because at one point they said, anyway, Damson Idris is the actor from Snowfall.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yes. Damson Idris. So, yeah.
So Pink Book said that Lori told Steve Harvey, her stepdad by marriage, that if you stop paying for my stuff, although Lori got her own money, that she would cut him off. I'm going to go ahead and guess that she has that same attitude in dating.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a money thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a money thing, because some people are used to living a certain type of lifestyle. And if they don't, and they will not, and I repeat, if they're not living that lifestyle with you, they will cut you off. I mean, cut you off, break up with you. Because when a person is used to living a certain, they're spoiled in a way, living that certain lifestyle, and they're used to living a certain lifestyle, and they, it's no longer about the love aspect, it's more about the finance aspect. The finance aspect. Okay? And that's how it seems it is, the finance aspect. So that's why we say it's a money thing. It's definitely a money thing. Yeah. Yeah.
So, to give better context, we're going to play into some more. This matches up with our title. Don't worry, we're getting to it.
Right. What's wrong with that?
Right.
I'm trying to invest in my future.
Right.
See, these dudes kill me. That's what's wrong with this generation today. These young boys today, what do she bring to the table? The hell you mean, man? What do your ass bring to the table? You got a woman that can come to the table that can make another you. What else she need to slide up to the table with? What about your job? What happened to men who were supposed to be responsible? Do you know that it's our job to take care of a woman and some children, to have a family? That's our damn job.
But what happens to when the woman tell you, I don't need a man, Steve?
Well, they need to, what? Okay, if you don't, how that's working?
Yeah, it's not working. Because even when they say they don't need a man, they're still finessing men in some way for a check to survive. Mm. Number one, a woman can't make another you. Together, you both can create a baby. The woman is not creating or making the baby. The woman is carrying the baby and pushing it out. Saying the only thing a woman has to do is lay on her back and push out a baby and that's it? That's the type of rhetoric that's fueling all this entitlement that we see going on. When women look at men, they examine them. They want to see what they bring to the table. What can the man do for her to improve her life? Those are standards, expectations. But when men have standards and expectations, that's a problem for Steve.
I took the words out of my mouth. See, that's why I love this woman. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a married woman talking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? For those who want to say, no, that's a married woman talking. She took the words out of my mouth. Because me and you both know that women always want to know what a man brings to the table.
And yeah, that's the concern, yeah.
As men, we understand that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're not even mad at that.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
But don't now tell men that they can't. Well, men are not in a, see, I swear, people take things too literal. No man is on a date asking a woman in this sentence, what do you bring to the table? No, he is asking vetting questions that reveal what she brings to the table.
Mm.
No different from when a woman asks you. I got a good example right now. One of the first things that a woman does after she done, let's say the physical attraction's out the way. You know how women are.
Yes.
You're the height she wants, and now she's just trying to figure out if you're the money that she wants, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she's asking you, so what do you do for a living? Is that not a woman asking what a man brings to the table?
Yeah, same thing. Same as that's the same energy.
Break it down.
It's the same energy. It's the same energy because she wants to find out what your financial status is.
Without asking what you make on the dollar. If she can gauge your occupation, she'll make a judgment call on that, and she can be very wrong. But that's where she'll start. She'll start her base. When a woman is asking you when a woman wants to know what a man brings to the table, her base is going to be, okay, what do you do?
Yeah, what do you do? Yeah. What do you do? I mean, it's a common question. It's an okay question.
I don't have
an okay question.
Like I said, men don't have a problem with that question. The problem is Steve Harvey is trying to say that you as a man, you shouldn't be asking that question. Well, he's being literal because he's being a simp who is pandering to a female audience because he does that on his talk show every freaking day, right?
So in other words, we can't ask what she's bringing to the table.
We can't vet. Yeah. Because asking questions is vetting, Steve Harvey. and Steve Harvey, maybe two marriages wouldn't have failed if you vetted correctly. Hello. I'm sorry, Zacchaeus. Go ahead.
Nah, listen. I don't believe you should ask somebody what they do. Man or woman should ask somebody what you do for a living or what you. If I'm asking you that question, I can ask the question too. So I understand he said that men, we're supposed to provide and we're supposed to do this. We already know that already.
We understand that.
We fully understand it. But he's coming off with energy and saying that we should not ask. Now, it's just common sense for me to ask. If you ask me what I do for a living, I would like, if I'm dating you, I would like to know what you do for a living. It just makes a lot of sense. I guess he's coming to bring it out. Well, we should not be asking. We're supposed to be providing anyway. But if we already know that already, then it wouldn't make sense if we don't ask that. We have to ask that. It just makes sense as men. We have to ask that. I mean, what do we bring to the table? Okay. If I can ask you, what do you bring to the table too? Why should that be an issue? Why should that be a problem if I'm asking what you bring to the table too? I mean, and I know some people say, well, it's a money thing. Yeah. But to me, when it comes to bringing things to the table, yeah, finances is one of them, is the main thing. But bringing something to the table can mean your character, charisma, what's your passions and what do you like to do? Those are other things that there's nowhere to talk about. But Steve coming up and saying that we should not be asking that question is kind of. And you know, someone would agree. A lot of women in the audience would agree with him and say, "Yeah, he mentioned that we asked him what we bring to the table. That's our job to ask that." No correction. We can ask us the same way how you ask us. We can ask you the same thing too. Okay. We can ask the same thing too. Yeah.
Yeah, and see, look, like I said, there he go pandering again. I don't like the fact that Shannon didn't challenge him, but he did ask this question. He said, what about the woman that say they don't need no man? And Steve wanted to pander, but then he's... You know what? I think a lot of times Steve... All right. I saw a show where Steve, I think, got tired of pandering. But then he had to correct himself because he realized, oh, I'm getting paid. Steve said, okay, well, how that working out for you? How that working out for you? That might be the real Steve talking, because what he's saying is, ladies, you don't make sense talking about who you are and what you do, but then you say you don't need no man, but at the same time, you need a man to pay everything.
Right, right.
You know, that doesn't make any sense either. You know,
doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
There was a woman. I can't remember the clip. Well, I remember the clip, but I can't find it right now. The right clip to play on here. You sent it to me. A woman said, "If a man is not paying all my bills, then I'm not the woman for him."
Right.
The guy said, "Okay, I have a question. Is he living with you?" "No, I have my place and he has his." He said, "Wait a second. So the man has to pay all of his bills.
Plus pay yours.
And then also at his place of residence, which he's already doing. Then he also have to have enough money to pay all of your bills." And the question was, "Do you work?" "Yeah." It was like, "Well, do you pay all your bills now?" "Yeah, I pay all my bills now because I'm single." "So then how come you can't just pay all your bills?" Well, then, if you're my man and you're not paying my bills, then why are you here? This is the advice that today's women are getting. And they're young. And they think it's cute. They're like 21. Breath still smelling like Similac, wet behind the ears. Don't know what life is. And all they have is their cuteness for now. They're probably out there doing a whole bunch of drugs and alcohol, not knowing that that will creep up on them very fast and they will age even quicker. And then before you know it, now you're old enough, you're played out, and now your only option is, and your only option is to buy a dog or a cat.
Right.
Or settle for the quote unquote bad settle for the man that is not what it is that you want, because you passed up on the man who was actually a good man.
Yes.
Right. But you said no to him because, you know, he didn't have bank like you wanted him to. And then you end up selling him with a guy who was worse.
Mm-hmm.
Or then the good man, you passed up on the good man, and now you have to settle for the only man that you can get when you get older.
That's what happens to a lot of them.
Yes.
That's what happens to a lot of them. Why? Because they're studying the bag. Listen, nothing wrong with study. Nothing wrong with, but how about build a foundation for yourself? How about be independent and build a foundation for yourself? And how about you be an add-on instead of being a liability? Okay. Yeah. How about you being an add-on? Meaning, when I say add-on, a partner, a person that you can build with, somebody you can build with, instead of being somebody that just takes. Because when I sent you that audio, I was taken back at what she said. She said that, listen, what do I need you for? What do I, if you can't pay my bills, what is
she said? Why are you here?
No.
The guy said, well, what is he getting? The guy said, what is you getting? Well, he gets to have sex with me. He was like, that's it.
That's it, yeah. So I like what she said in the audio, because also when I tuned in the audio, she also said the only way that you should be paying the woman's bills if she's married to you.
Yes.
Okay.
Provision. If she's married, it's for wives. Yeah.
It's for wives. It's for wives only. I'm living in Timbuktu, and you're living all the way across the country, and then you say, "Well, Negro, you gotta pay my bills." Excuse you? I gotta wait a minute. I'm paying my own bills. I'm struggling to pay my own bills.
And that doesn't seem like
pay your bills too.
Right. That doesn't seem like a fair exchange to me. I mean, you know, when a woman says that, then the man said, then he challenged her. He said, "So he don't pay your bills, that's it. Well, I'm not putting a gun to his head saying he has to." He said, "But you are, because you said that if he don't, he's done."
Right.
Well, I'm just saying that's my requirements. Yeah. So yes, you require money or that's it. But you got your, well, why do I need him? I could just pay my own bills. Well, just pay your own bills, Miss Independent.
Exactly. Continue to pay your own bills, and yeah.
Hey, and guess what? Guess what? I'm glad she said that. I love men out there. I know it hurts, right? To the men out there, I know it hurts some of y'all because this is not something you want to hear from women when you're trying to pursue them. I get it. But I just want you to understand something. It's okay, man. It's okay. Rock with a woman that rocks with you. Okay? These women who talk like that, their day is coming. If they don't straighten out, their day is coming. The world will show them, because this is why we talked about a woman getting bad relationship advice, because you know you're getting bad advice when all the advice that you got, and when you apply it to your life, the results are all negative. Because if you're getting good advice, wouldn't your results be positive?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just saying. Right?
Yeah, and stop looking at society. You know, see, what is that society really kind of allow women to think this way? The accountability aspect is out the door. So they think that, well, and it's all and because of what they see on these television apps, what they see, what they view on these reality TVs.
TikTok.
It's like TikTok and all this stuff, like, oh wow, he got a nice car. Oh, this, he got that. So it's like to them, it's like they want to make they want to turn that fantasy into reality. Oh, he got to cover this for me. As soon as he sees me, oh my gosh, look how I look. As soon as he sees me, he's gonna pay for this. Perfect example. Sometimes these videos come on YouTube where these girls get so. I mean, the guy tries to talk to her and just say how you're doing. She don't want nothing to do with him. As soon as he get into a nice fancy car, she walks. She got what she just said to him. She was rude to him. She forgot what she said. She forgot what she said to him. That was very disrespectful. Turn right back around. She does a 360. Turn right around and just knocks on his car window. And he's like, the guy's like, what do you want? What do you need me for? And all of a sudden now, she changed her tone. She changed her tune because he sees him materialistic. Society makes things valuable more than people. Society makes things more like your status quo. Like if you have a nice car or a nice big crib and you're flashy looking and you have this nice car and everything, it makes you feel like, well, like this is all to life. This is what I want a guy for. Not his integrity, not his character, but what is his status quo? Does he drive a nice fancy car? What is his status? That's a status. Driving a nice car and looking flashy and having a big mansion. Like that's all to us. That's all to us to a relationship. And a lot of these people are fooled. A lot of these young ladies are fooled. They're fooled. They think that's it. And they're fooled. Society paints a picture of this is what it is to be successful. This is what it is to be to have material things is what it is to be successful. And what it is, not so. And they have this illusion that they're living in that, yeah, I don't want to talk. They don't want to talk to no other guy. As long as you have the nice flashy things and the nice this and nice that, that's when they want to talk to you. And a lot of them are fooled by that. And a lot of them, they wind up being alone for a long time. A long time. 40s, hitting 50, still partying with the girls, going to clubs, hoping to find that man that's with a nice shining armor, with a nice fancy car to sweep them off their feet. And they don't find it because those guys, how they treat them, it's like, let me just get a little... sweet cheeks, then I bounce, and then She sits there and she wonders, well, how come he's not faithful to me? How come he's not calling me? What is he doing behind my back? How come he's not reaching? I thought, listen, it's how you present yourself. You presented yourself as a gold digger. If you present yourself that way, you're going to get treated as such. He's not going to take you home to meet his mother. No, that's not going to happen. Yeah. He's not going to take you home to meet his folks. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
He might even take you to meet his boys. That may not happen. He might just do that. Just say, this is the girl that I'm hitting that, man. And that's as far as it goes. Why? Because it's your presentation. If you present yourself as a decent person that's just looking for somebody to settle down with, not for what things he possess, but his integrity and his character and his, and a person that's want to settle down and build with you, if you're looking for that, you might meet somebody like that. Yes. But if you come up with the presentation that all you are is about the money, and all you bought is about the bag, what's the bag he got, then you already lost. And if you don't change your whole, the way of thinking, young ladies, 40's going to hit you.
Mm-hmm.
Still single.
Yeah.
All right? Yeah. So, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I got something.
Yes.
I know that you've said that you cannot teach a man or tell a man how to be a man. So I will not ask you to indict men in this question. But I do want you to speak, Ayanla, to how women need to, position ourselves so that we can be in our divinity, so we can have our crowns right, how we can create and not build. When some of us, quite frankly, feel that the men that are available to us, and I'm talking about across the color spectrum, across the age spectrum, trust me, I've done them all, they are not positioned to protect nor provide because of some of the statistics we just talked about. They're not earning the incomes. They're not having the resources, and some of them are not even showing up in the leadership.
Would you date a bus driver? You. Would you date
a bus driver? If he owns the bus. If he owns if he owns the bus.
That's a problem. That's a problem. Okay. Because the standards and requisites, and I'm not talking about him laying on his sofa playing video games all day. I'm not talking about that. But the standards and the criteria that we use to measure men is off for who we are as women and who they are in this society. I would date a bus driver if he loved driving the bus. If he was a man of integrity, if he was good to his mama, if he treated me well, I would date a bus.
Oh, that you said.
That was Ayanla Valzant.
Ayanla Van Zant.
Conversation with journalist Ebony K. Williams. This was on the Griot Network, formerly known as Black News Channel. And, let's get into that.
Yeah.
She brought up some, I don't know what statistics they were talking about because I can't even get the full interview. And she said some of us feel that they're not earning the sufficient incomes. Let's challenge that.
Yeah.
According to blackdemographics.com, which is referencing the U.S. borough statistics, in 2021, the income of black families, well, black household income, black male, median earnings, $46,065. compared to the rest of USA, $60,428. I assume those are probably white men. Black female, $41,719. Out of the U.S., $49,263. So, majority of black men still make more money than black women.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Let's go further. Black family, meaning couple or kids, single parent. The median income of the family with kids, $58,728. But if you break it down, it says out of all families, $85,806. Married couple family. So this is black man, black woman together. $87,769. I mean, in an affordable city, you should be able to make that work, right?
Yeah. An affordable city.
An affordable city. Compared to all families, it's $102,432. Single mother household with children. Median income, $37,866. Mm. Single father household with children, $49,148. Hm. I'm just trying to figure out, where are all these rich women that can't find that are saying they, where are all these women that say they make all this so much more money than black men? If the Census Bureau is saying that black men still out earn black women, I don't understand this slander that black men. I mean, we always get slandered. I mean, we get it from everybody else. We get it from our own people. It is what it is, right? Yeah. But I don't understand this narrative that, and let me say something, Ebony K. Williams is an above average earner. So she doesn't speak for all women. She speaks for her women and her age group, because she's older. She's a little older. She's somewhere in her 40s somewhere.
Right.
You know, more than likely single. Her comment was, and let's address that right now. I just wanted to challenge the stats, because there's this narrative that brothers are just at home playing video games, eating donuts, and drinking coffee. Well, we're not. We're hardworking men. Some make below average, some make average, some make above average. It is what it is. This is the world we live in. Somebody has to do the work. Somebody got to pick grapes, and somebody got to build railroads, and somebody has to build buildings. I mean, there's different people for different things. I don't understand what's the issue here. Okay? Well, there's no respect.
You know what the issue is that a lot of some women live in fantasy worlds. If you know what I mean by fantasy world, meaning that that they're not talking to you unless you're making six figures. And they don't realize that the amount of people that make six figures is not a great amount.
No.
It's not a great amount that makes six figures.
No.
It's a small amount. It's a small amount that makes six figures. That makes six figures and beyond. Six figures and beyond. Millionaires. It's very few. It's not a lot of millionaires that they think. So by them turning down decent men, I'm not saying that all the men are decent. No, I'm just saying that those who are and God probably possibly placed them in their way and their pathway, they shoot down because of status quo, because of, oh, they're not popular. Oh, he don't have this. Oh, look what kind of car he drive. Oh, look what, I can't look at him. They straight up ignore him, push him to the side. And then, You know when he becomes attractive? They start looking at every man when they're worn out and they're old.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden now, Pookie that you ignore, now Pookie starts looking attractive now. Knowing when she finally meets Pookie, Pookie been married, maybe 20 years to a decent woman, married, has maybe about 2 to 3 kids or 2 kids, and he's doing well for himself, looking well. He's doing pretty good, and she's looking to say, telling Pookie that, oh, we could have been somebody. We could have been together. And Pookie was like, well, 20 years ago, you said I didn't have this, I didn't have this. 15 years ago, you was dissing me. You ignored me. I tried to talk to you, but you said I was working a regular job. I was working, making maybe about 45 to 50,000 a year. I was working a decent, I had a decent job, but I was too late. Now I married my wife of 15 years now, and we're doing pretty good. She loved me for me, and I love her for her. And too late. And it happens to a lot. It happens to a lot of people. It happens to even happens to some men too. It happens to a lot of people. They wind up turning 50, still single.
And she said,
and because they're looking at the wrong things, you know. So yeah,
she said, "Would you date a bus driver?"
I remember that part. Yeah, she said,
"I would if he only owns the bus." Now, Ayala didn't ask her, would you marry one? She said, would you date one?
Date him.
I have something else to play.
Okay.
Which might match up with what I got going on, but it may be a little different, but I have something to play.
He adored her. He treated her right.
Hold on.
Ladies and gentlemen, this article throwing a lot of.
Hold on, man.
Go find him a good woman. Ready to say.
Okay. That's not going to work.
Ladies and gentlemen, this article is going viral.
Okay. Good Lord. I'm trying to get this clip. I know some of y'all have seen it. This woman said that. I know where to find it. I know where to find it. Anyway, I don't want no dead air right now. All right, here's the thing. Men, this is what you got to do. You have to stay away from women who think if you don't have a whole bunch of money, you're nothing category.
Yeah.
Young brother, you are something. As long as you're constructive to society. I'm not talking about some cat out here doing some crazy stuff and scamming. No, you're not part of that. I'm not rocking with you. I'm talking about an honorable man that the Bible speaks about. If you are that type of man, you do matter. I think people, I can understand. I understand why so many men are turning to the so-called red pill community or whatever. Let me just also remind people, these are very vague terms. For those who've seen Matrix, red pill was coming to the reality of what really is going on. Blue pill, just living bliss to what you think is going on. It's just an awakening. It has nothing. It's taken out of context. It's just an awakening. You know how back in the days, cats was trying to remind us in the black community, you need to wake up and realize what's going on. And then so cats was saying, stay woke. The original stay woke, the now woke stuff, That's some racist stuff. They took it over and talk about woke. No, the original stay woke is be awakened to how the world is treating you. Don't be blind to the facts. That's what the original meaning of being woke is. So that's what red pill is. Well, should be. I can't comment on every other man in that space, but when men are being talked down to, when they're being treated a certain way, they get upset and, they take it out on women that treated them a certain way, or they take it out on all women, sadly.
Mm-hmm.
But, fellas, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. It's all right. You know what I'm saying? Just work on yourself. and build with the woman who has the same mindset as you. You know, mm-hmm. that's all you have to do. I think people, everybody don't believe in the Bible, but, you know, the Bible is very serious about being equally yoked. And when two or three agree, I will be in the midst. In terms of leading to a marriage, get a woman who thinks like you do about marriage. You know what I'm saying? And hopefully that brother is getting his marriage blueprint from the Bible, because that's what God gave us. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's looking outside of this, outside of that, when the blueprint is right there in the Word. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Amen. And you just got to find a woman who's on the same page as you. Mm-hmm. I get it. I know it's hard, but what is special is not going to be so easy. You know what I'm saying? You know, I think this whole concept of the first woman that walks out, you know, this soulmate thing. I don't believe in soulmates. I believe there are compatible people that you could line up with. But I don't believe there's only mm-hmm. one person. You know how many people there are in this world? What if your wife, you in America, what if your wife was all the way in China? How are you going to make that happen? So, no, I don't think there's just one person.
Right. No.
You know what I'm saying? So, this one woman, I can't find the clip, but this went viral. This one woman said that she met a guy, God-fearing, great man, everything he wanted, everything he was, checked off all the boxes on her list, even got to the point where they got engaged and they were going to get married. Before they got married, she turned him down. She called up the engagement because she said that she felt that, or she knew something always was missing. Lady, you waited until the wedding to call up the engagement and to tell him or tell the world, because you probably didn't tell him first, that something was always missing. Why didn't you end that sooner? I can only imagine the time, the effort, the sacrifice, the resources that this man spent, his investment on this woman, only for her to tell him something always was off. But you accepted the ring.
Yep.
Right? I'm pretty sure you accepted everything else. I'm sure you ain't give all that back. I hope you gave the ring back and you had some class. Right?
Yeah, yes.
But you knew something was always missing. Oh, but hey, it's okay, because she's a woman. Let a man do that. Zach here, speak to that. What would have happened if a man would have got on TikTok or Instagram or whatever the heck, and he said it's everything she said, but in reverse? Go ahead.
He would have been ostracized. Straight up.
Thank you.
Straight up. Ostracized. Why? Because he's a male. That's why. I mean, by just uttering what she said, just thinking from his perspective, knowing that he's a male, automatically. And I would say not just from the women saying he's wrong. They got some men that will say he's wrong, too.
They would have said he was wrong, too. And you know what? That's okay. Because as men, for the most part, we hold each other accountable.
Right.
Even though a lot of women don't believe that. But we do. We do it in our circles, privately, because you don't bash your brother in public. That's why. Now, a lot of men have, but the point I'm making is I myself had to correct, and I myself, when I was wrong, had to be corrected, and I accepted that.
Right.
Okay? Because that's what accountability looks like. Mm-hmm. Owning up to what you did, and then after owning up to what you did, atoning for what you did.
You did, right.
Mm-hmm. And fixing that from the period now to the end.
Mm-hmm. To the end, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Accountability is not, I'm sorry, but hey, that's just who I am.
That's no accountability.
What?
That's no accountability.
That's scapegoating. That's gaslighting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're not doing that. Okay?
No.
So, you know, what are we teaching our sons? What are we teaching our daughters? Because the current generation is lost. To heck with all of them. All of them. To heck with all of them.
And then the side
you
thing,
go.
The side but I'm talking about the, that,
yeah. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
You gotta well, the on. Sad thing is, I'm about to say, the sad thing is that they're learning from this generation. Sad.
Oh, you mean the hard way. Yeah. You mean it? The you hard mean way, it, yeah. The ones who missed out on their opportunities and aged out? Them?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Okay, I got you. So, bad advice. The reason why we named it this title is because we're seeing the results. You just said it just a second ago. We're seeing the results of people who are angry, bitter, and alone, and who pretty much hate their life in one area, mm-hmm. but masked it by applying themselves to other things and hoping that was going to buy them love.
Right.
And
right.
That's not how that works out. There are plenty of people online that would that be like, you know what, man? Shoot, I got I ain't got this, but I got $1 million though. Yeah, but you by yourself though. You by yourself.
By yourself, yeah, yeah. They have no, you know, it's like what Billy Dee said years ago in the film, Mahogany. if I'm rich, I want somebody to share it with. You know, if I'm wealthy, let me share. I want somebody to share it with. He said it to Diana Ross. It's before our time, but anyway.
if I'm poor, I want somebody to share it with. Because even poor, you ever see homeless couples on the street?
Yes.
Homeless yes. couples, and they are together.
You know why? Because what holds them together is not the material things that hold them together.
Yeah, because they ain't got that.
They ain't got it. It's the spiritual aspect that holds them together. It's a connection that holds them together. The chemistry and mm-hmm. the connection of one, maybe one day, both can get out of their mud.
Yep.
Yeah, can get out of the mud. But you see, if money is the thing that holds you together, it's not going to last long.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to drive home with these young ladies, and maybe to some of the young men too, that the money is only because you can have all the money in the world, but if you don't have God in the center and you don't have that relationship and you're just wavering and you're not excited about each other. You know, I was just talking to a friend not too long ago. He's going through a divorce and they have things, but you know what it is? That connection they miss with each other because they focus on the wrong things. They fell out of love, and that happens. They have some rich folks, two couples that are rich. And you ask them why they fell out of love. Ask them why. They will hold on for the wrong reason. They will hold on because of, well, they have assets. They have they build their empire with money. They have their assets. They have a lot invested in each. They have a lot invested. You know what they have a lot of money invested. But you know the thing that's missing with them? They don't have there's no love connection. They don't have the love is not the commitment to each other, because remember they have their own agendas. The commitment to each other is not there. The kids can feed off their energy is not there, and that's why they can leave each other with ease and get a divorce with ease. Why? Because there was no connection in the first place. What they connected with? Material things. Mm-hmm. Oh, look what I got. Look what she got. Look what I got. Look what I have. Look what I possess. I have this mansion. Look, I have this mansion. Moved into the mansion. I have this, all these cars in my lot. Oh, we're going to live well. We're going to live beautiful. Those things are fine and dandy. But you can still be empty with those things. Those things can... The material things is not a spiritual thing. It's material. That can't hold your relationship together. You may be able to buy nice things, but as far as... Could that fulfill your inner joy and happiness? It just can't. It's just material things.
Yeah.
So our advice to the young ladies is that don't just focus on the bag, focus on other things as well. Okay. Yeah. That's what builds a relationship to make it better. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So how about this? We're coming against all these people who give bad advice. They got women just single with cats and dogs and probably got a hamster in their house too, right? your career doesn't make you who you are. How much money you make doesn't make you who you are if you go home every night and you're unhappy because you're by yourself. Now, we're not saying right. You take anybody in, but the amount of traveling that you do, ladies, because y'all go on Instagram and post pictures of you talking about beach bum and all this other stuff, and you're in your bikini and all that, which is cool. You know, I like some of y'all pictures. I ain't going front, but at the end of the day, them pictures can't hold you at night.
No. Nah.
Cause if you think you're lonely now, waiting till tonight, girl. So let's give some good advice. I'll start. This is how I'll end it, mm-hmm. and then you can close it out, Zacchaeus.
Okay.
The advice that I can give today on this episode is: stop listening to failed experiments. They're not getting you results. Secondly, I'm not saying you have to change your game plan altogether. There's nothing wrong with having vetting questions, but you better be prepared for vetting questions asked of you with the right man, because a man with wisdom is going to ask questions too. And if he doesn't ask questions, then he just wants the draws. Let's just keep it real.
Facts.
A man who don't care about you is only going to ask enough so he can get the draws. Right? Yep. Secondly, ladies, stop asking for things that only benefit you. Wise men know what you're doing when you do that. Well, on to your game, ladies. Mm-hmm. If every conversation is aim towards what the man could do for you, but you don't have nothing about what you could do for a man, you are useless. You add no value to any man's life. You don't even add no value to your own, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Okay. We know, I'm a wise man. I'll say we because Zacchaeus is married, but I'm the one who's single. We know, ladies, men like me know exactly what to listen for. Oh, and we also know that let a woman talk long enough, she'll tell on herself.
Ooh, yeah.
Okay?
Facts, yeah, man.
I want to apologize to all those men who forfeited this relationship world and are now going their own way. I want to apologize to y'all. I'm starting to understand why. I mean, I haven't mm-hmm. done that. But I'm mm-hmm. starting to understand why these men feel like that. They're tired of getting played. And a lot of these men who have gone their own way, they haven't figured the game out yet. So they're just in training to try to get themselves back out in the dating world. Because mm-hmm. they realize that they've been a simp for so long, or maybe they've never been a simp, but they just really having a hard time trying to navigate a world that is against them. You know what I'm saying? So I understand why some of them have done that. I'm not going that way, but hey, I saw a show on FX mm-hmm. called I think it's mm-hmm. called Old Man with Jeff Bridges. This yeah. man lives a retired life, got two Rottweilers, and is doing his thing. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And if that's a life that brings him peace, I ain't mad at that.
Right.
You know? But what I want to say to ladies, if you've been applying things to your life and your results are all negative, kill that. Because obviously, you're getting bad advice. Mm. If you find yourself always between a rock and a hard place, in the dating world, you're getting bad advice. And a lot of this advice starts from your upbringing.
Yeah, yeah.
It could be your own parental raising that is giving you bad advice. Unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know? So, and ladies, talk to men. Listen to when men are speaking. A man, let a man talk long enough and he'll tell you what he actually really wants. How about that?
Right. Right.
I'm gonna give y'all that game, ladies. Okay? Because that's exactly what happens. But a lot of women are not listening to us. They're listening to other women about us. So then now when they're sitting across from us, they have a false assumption.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem.
Yeah.
I got my game from a woman. I got my game about women from a woman. Taught me very early. She told me to watch out for, she said, yeah, this world is going to tell you a lot of good that women do, but guess what? I'm going to tell you a lot of bad that they do that they don't talk about. So I got both sides of the coin. I got both sides of that knowledge. And a lot of women, well, not a lot, but the ones that I run into, they have a problem with that when men know this stuff. Because it's like interrupting your game plan, you know. It's like in sports with football, right? You wondering why every pass you throw is intercepted, and every run you thrown is cut short. And then you say to yourself, "Man, this is some good defense."
Exactly. Right.
Men, arm yourself with defense. So that you know to not get played out here by women who are snakes. And ladies,
yes.
Prepare yourself too, because we know that. We know there are men out here who are snakes. We already know that. There's a Lifetime channel dedicated to that. Every time you turn on Lifetime, We Entertainment, go to the movies, talk shows, always talking about the bad that men do. Always. So when women hear the bad that they do, they're surprised because there's not a network for that.
Right.
Maybe except for that show For My Man, right? That's probably the only one. For My Man and Snapped. Those are like the only the only two programs where they actually show women being out of pocket.
Yes. For My Man and Snapped.
Snapped. Women, right.
Right. And ladies and gentlemen, those stories are true.
They're true
stories. Really, those murders that you hear about these women, these heinous crimes you hear about these women doing it on that show, they're real. Mm-hmm. It really did happen. It happened. Yeah. For My Man. Yeah. She'll do anything for her man. Anything for that criminal. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'll land my plane here, and then I'll let Zach Kears take as long as he wants. To give you ladies some good advice. Number one, ladies, when you're vetting a man, know that there are many things that are part of the vetting process, right? Other than just asking what the man does for a living, because a lot of y'all just stop at that. You need to know if this man has integrity. Ladies, integrity is doing the right thing even when no one is looking. You need to know if he has that. That's part of a leadership quality. You're not a leader if you don't have integrity. Because a lot of women say, well, men don't know how to lead. Like, they get at black men so bad. Well, black men don't know how to lead. Well, because the black men that you are inviting to your table are the men that really that all you're qualified for. You're not qualified for a leader. And you're not coming to the table wanting to be led anyway. How about that? You're coming to the table masculine. You're not coming to the table feminine. You don't have an ounce of feminine energy in you. The only thing feminine about you is probably just your hair and your nails done.
Wow.
So, ladies, if there's a man that you want, you have to be required for that type. Men, we already know that. Men, we know that we have to build our value. We're not born with it. Ladies, you're taught that, you know, you're a woman, you're born with a vajayjay, so you deserve the world. That's a lie. No, you got to work just like the rest of us. Sorry, ladies.
Yeah.
Shout outs to the women who do, though. Let me tell you something. Yes. I love a prudent, virtuous woman. Wise woman. Oh, I love that.
Yes.
Shout outs to Shahrazad Ali.
Mm-hmm.
Teaching these women right from wrong.
Yes.
And shout outs to Ayanla these days. Because Ayanla got canceled because she said twice that black women are out of order.
Wow. She got canceled. Wow.
And they asked her again, hey, you once said this. She said, oh no, black women are still out of order. And she explained that. Now, this is not a show about bashing black women. I'm just repeating what Ayanla said and what she got canceled for.
Right.
And why she was being interviewed and asked Ebony K. Williams, would you date a bus driver? Because she's trying to explain the very things that got black women losing out here. Or women in general, but she's talking to black women because that's the main concern. She's a black woman.
Right.
Herself. So she wants other black women to win. She wants black women to make their decisions about who they want as a mate on things that really matter. And ladies, if you have money, if you're a woman with money, if you're above average earner, I don't understand. If you care about the family that you want to create, why wouldn't you want to contribute to that financially? I don't understand that. That's got to be the most selfish thing I've ever heard. You want a family, right? You want a family. You want a husband. You want kids. The husband's already doing his job. He is. He taking care of things. But on the things that he falls short in, you don't want to help? I don't get that.
Mm-hmm.
I had a woman ask me, Lord help me and help her. I had a woman ask me, I'm going to give it to Zach here. So it just came to my mind. I had a woman ask me, hey, if you got married and your wife didn't want to pay a single bill, how would you feel? I said, well, question. Does this woman work or does she not work? Oh, well, she works. So a working wife doesn't want to help her also working husband? She goes, well, what if she's your wife and you love her? Well, if she's my wife, of course I love her. That's number one.
Right.
What if she's your wife and you love her and she, you know, she just wants to just, you know, save her money and you just pay for everything? I asked that woman, is that being a helpmate?
No.
Crickets. When one of the things that I would say, and the brother Jeff Brown said this, and a couple other men said this, but I'm going to give Jeff Brown some credit. He said, ladies, the best way to understand a man when you ask him about what do you about if he asks what do you bring to the table, your response should be whatever you need help with. That's a helpmate.
That's
a helpmate right there. The woman the woman basically comes to you humbly because she already sees you handling everything anyway. We're talking about men who are quality men, okay, ladies? I'm talking about quality men. If you come to a quality man, and you have this mentality of whatever my man needs, I'm going to help him. That's a helpmate. That's an example of one.
Mm-hmm.
This ain't no misogynistic talk. I'm not saying that. Because as a man, we are very open to supporting what a woman does, her hopes, her dreams, and everything. We have no problem with that. We know how to multitask better than them. Because we can pursue our dreams and at the same time support us. And it doesn't take mm-hmm. from what we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But instead, we're hearing women say, well, I can't work and cook. Nobody said you got to work a 14-hour shift, ma'am. We're not saying that. And secondly, we all know that if you're a unit, y'all can take turns cooking. I mean, hey, she cooked, I'll wash the dishes. I cook, she'll wash the dishes. What's the problem? You could work it out.
Mm-hmm.
A man with a plan knows how to have a conversation with his wife-to-be and say, hey, these are the things that I have in my mind. Are you okay with that? He will discuss a plan for his life. And a man who has a plan for his life, looking out for your best interests, will also have a plan for your for yours, too. He's not telling you what to do, but it's going to be in line with what he does. It's not going to conflict. That's what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
If his plan for his life and your plan for your life clashes, call it off. Y'all not ready. Nope. You're not ready. Because it shouldn't. It should blend. It should mold. Right, Zach? Here's your married man.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. I'll humbly back mm-hmm. up right now. Zach, here's take all the time you need. I took about 15 minutes. Go ahead.
Yeah. So my advice for the young women out there and also the men is to make sure that when you meet each other and you're thinking about dating that person, make sure that y'all can collaborate on many things. You'll have somewhat things in common and you can, and it's a compatibility. Y'all can bounce ideas off of each other and build together from there. Yes, you build ideas out. Yes, you build ideas for each other. When you build ideas with each other and you build a, and you're talking about maybe a future together, but also make sure that it's not just ulterior motives, meaning that it's not just for, oh, well, because he's making this amount of money, that's why I want to be with him. Oh, well, because she has, oh, she looks thick and I like that. No, it's more than the thick thighs and it's more than if he owns a franchise. Okay. So you have done this, but so when y'all build together, make sure.
Say that again. Say it again, please.
Yeah. So, when y'all build each other, when y'all looking to collaborate with each other and y'all have a compatibility with each other, make sure that it's not just because he owns a franchise. And men, make sure it's just because she has them thick thighs. Okay. We have them right.
I'm sorry, yeah. Go ahead. I dropped a bomb on that.
Thank you, man. So you have to understand when building with each other is more than just that. It's a compatibility, it's an understanding, as it's just y'all two can come together and y'all can just like me and my wife do. Back in the days, way back in the days, well, I'm old school, back in the days, the term called rubbing pennies together. Where we go,
yeah.
which today, if women talk about that, if you meet some of these young women and they talk about rub, they ain't gonna want to hear that. I got to rub with who? You? Nah. Please,
I got to rub pennies with their friend, but not with their man.
Not with somebody they're gonna build with, not somebody they're gonna spend their hopefully spend the rest of their life with. But I got to build who with you? I got to rub pennies. They ain't trying to hear that. But that's the type of man you want to be with. Women, that's the type of men, that's the type of women you want to be with. Someone that was willing to blend together, that can come together and build together. Enough said. So, Zacchaeus in the fifth, yes.
All right.
Mr. Z in the fifth, yes. Mm-hmm.
Great, great, great show. I didn't think it would lead us to what to this point. I usually don't. It's been a while since I had an actual final thought, but this inspired me. Zacchaeus, let them know where they can reach you, man.
You can reach me at Zacchaeus Music on Instagram. Also, Zacchaeus, also at Wayne Backus Gospel on Instagram. Also on Facebook, you can reach me on Wayne Backus 167 on Facebook, TikTok. Wayne Backus Gospel on TikTok, also on, let me see, Twitter, at Wayne Backus 2 on Twitter. Yeah, hit me up, y'all. Bless.
All right. Y'all can holler at me at the Fifth General, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, all right? This was another episode, season 4, episode 26 of the Mrs. Z and Fifth Show. We'll see y'all next time, y'all.
Peace. If you like this content, smash that like button. If you like our content, smash that like button.
Subscribe.
Fifth General TV. Subscribe to our channel.
Subscribe. Don't forget to also subscribe to our audio on iTunes, Spotify, Audio Mac, Google Podcasts, all of that. Once again, all right. Peace out, y'all. Peace. See y'all next week. All right.
See y'all next week.